Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
So, transfer window. Alphabetical order. Traditionally, it is Arsenal, but for the last two seasons, we've had Bournemouth.
Yay, AFC Bournemouth. Taking over that number one spot preseason.
Yep. So, AFC Bournemouth, I think, have had, by their standards, a very good transfer window. Early on, they bought a few players from other league. Les Moussettes from Le Havre in France. They got Emerson Hinman from Fulham, who had a good season at the Championship. Last season, and then from there they kind of went from strength to strength. Also, Lewis Cook from the coming in from Leeds in the Championship. They got Jordan Ibe, who's a good player at Liverpool. Who I thought Liverpool was gonna break into that Liverpool team this season, but and it's not alone. He does have a buyback clause.
In his contract.
But FC Bournemouth have basically got him, and he can probably expect to play a big role. Because Eddie Howe likes attacking players, likes using. Quick wingers like Jordan Ibe. I think Ibe is in that Raheem Sterling mold of player. So he could definitely... I'm very surprised that Liverpool sold him. And they've also sold Brad Smith, who's another good young player that in that Ibe and Sterling mold. So I don't know what sort of game Klopp wants to play at Liverpool, but clearly doesn't fit that quick winger type.
Well, he doesn't see those two as filling the roles that
he wants.
But
I think Liverpool's loss is definitely Bournemouth's gain.
It's
very good buys there. And Mark Wilson coming in from Stoke City, who's a solid player. He's going to give a bit of experience to Bournemouth and someone who basically been around the block in the Premiership for ages and ages. He's very experienced in that midfield, so he's another very good buy. And they got Jack Wilshere as well on loan.
That's awesome.
That midfield is looking very solid, very, very dependable. I think a lot of their outs are players from their youth team or who haven't quite gelled in the Premiership after coming in. So I think Bournemouth have done really, really well. By their standards, it's almost as good as Man City, because Howe is no Pep Guardiola.
No.
And going to Bournemouth is not going to Man City. It's not the same. And he's got pretty much, I think, he's managed to shore up all the positions he's wanted to shore up. There's no reason why Bournemouth can't easily stay up this season and even crack that top 10.
Yeah, looking at those buys and knowing that they had a reasonable squad last year, I think you're right. I think they've brought reasonably well. They've got some good young talent. They've got a couple of good players in there. So yeah, I don't see why they can't, with that sort of squad, it's looking like, why can't they be, that 10, 11, 12 sort of spot. And so yeah, I think they'll do reasonably well.
So what would you rate Bournemouth? You agree? I'm giving them a hard A.
Yeah, I might just give them A-, but no, I think an A. I think you're right, an A.
I agree. And so next we have Burnley, who have started the season really well and had a reasonable transfer window. So they got Patrick Bamford on loan from Chelsea.
Yeah.
Good young player. So he's going to continue his development there, and I think it's a good move for them. And they also got Jeff Henrick from Derby County from the Championship. Not sure how good he will be for them, but that's pretty much it. That's the two players that they managed to bring in the transfer window. Oh, and Stephen Defour from Anderlecht, who's someone who's been in the Premiership before, knows what they're doing. And John Flanagan from Liverpool, another one of their youth players going to Burnley.
Liverpool seems to have dropped a bit of their youth talent really out of their squad.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting to me because Burnley have kept a lot of their squad. They've gone people in and out. A lot of their players are from two seasons ago when they were in the Premiership, and Sam Dyche has very easily brought them back in. Sam Dyche is a manager I have a lot of respect for. I think he does. He's probably of the English managers of in that Eddie Howe and his age group that is very probably the best tactical manager. Like that game against Liverpool where they won 2-0 and quite easily won 2-0. Only 19% possession. They don't care about how much ball you guys can keep.
No, exactly. Didn't work so well against Chelsea the week after. But no, against Liverpool, they did it very well. With the just soak up the pressure and then hit them on the counter.
But we know that in a game, playing that sort of game, like once the floodgates open, they open well. Yeah. And if you can't get those quick goals to like demoralize the other team, you're
going to find it. Or if you let in quick goals that give that buffer, and then you need to go looking for it. And I think that was shown against Chelsea. Chelsea got an early goal, early goals, and Burnley just didn't have answers for it. Basically, they didn't have the players to be able to come back against a side like Chelsea from a side
but
like
they
Chelsea,
can definitely so. Probably compete against your Liverpools, your Evertons, and maybe even your Tottenham Hotspurs. And
exactly, if they can soak up the early pressure and then get that because they looked like they might be able to get a couple of goals against Chelsea. It's just that it was just same against Liverpool. It was just very rare, and Chelsea were able to keep them out. And Chelsea had got an early goal, so it meant that Burnley
pressure
was on Burnley. So Chelsea didn't have to feel like they needed to really push forward. They could, especially as the game went on, they could hold back and hold their shape better. Whilst with Liverpool, because it had gone the other way, they were the ones that needed to push up and leave the gaps behind, which gave Burnley the chance to get in behind. Yeah.
Burnley, what would you... Difficult to gauge. They're very reliant on Sam Dyche pulling them out. I don't know. Yeah. I think Burnley are possibly ripe for relegations, so...
Yeah, it's going
to
be...
I'm
going
to give them a C.
Yeah, I'm thinking a C as well for Burnley. It doesn't seem to be anything in there that really caught the eye. Bit hard to tell with them, as you say, because they basically got the squad last time they were up, but that squad did go down, so... And whilst it's good enough to yo-yo, maybe it's not really good enough to stay up. So unless, of course, they're not too worried about it, they're getting their money whilst they're up, have a side that's going to be good enough, maybe be able to squeak through relegation to give them an extra season, and just looking to cash in at the moment and then use that cash for next time. I don't know. We'll see.
Moving on to Crystal Palace, our South London's representative in the Premiership. They started off early and with a bang. They got Andrews Townsend with Dwight Gale going the other way to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And basically 3 million change. And they got Steve Mandanda from Marseille, followed on by James Tompkins from West Ham. So they got a lot of their business done quite early. Then they got Christian Benteke from Liverpool. So they got that striking power which they needed. Another player I'm not too sure why Liverpool didn't want to keep. They got Loic Remy from Chelsea. So they've got a quick and clever striker who can play off a big target man like Benteke. Benteke is more than just a target man because he's a classy player.
Oh, yes, definitely. That's actually quite a formidable pairing up front for Crystal Palace. They're going to be quite deadly. It's going to be hard keeping those two quiet.
Absolutely, especially if they can get the service into them. I think it was quite obvious Alan Pardew wanted to strengthen that midfield, and he wanted to get players who could feed his strike force, which he managed to put together. In the end, they only managed to get Matthew Flamini. Overall, though, I don't think I'd be too upset if I were a Crystal Palace fan.
No.
A bunch of players have left, but I don't think anyone they are going to particularly miss.
Well, the only one I was looking down there that was a miss as such, which wasn't really, was Dwight Gale.
Yeah.
But given who they got in up front anyway...
And they replaced Dwight Gale with Andrews Townsend.
Exactly. So they got a replacement there, and then they... so it was all good. So it's not that much of a problem. That was the only one I looked at and go, ooh, Dwight Gale, I know they got Andrews Townsend in, which is not a bad thing. But nobody else going out was anything that was... seem to be resembling at least high-profile Crystal Palace.
I agree. I'm like, it really depends on how quickly Alan Pardew can get them to gel.
Yeah.
I think, like Remy's played under Pardew before, knows what he likes. Benteke is, if he can stay injury-free, I think will be good in any team.
Yeah.
So I am picking Palace to do quite well this season. Not going to be relegation contenders at all. I think I would give them a solid B.
Yeah, I think definitely. I may even give them a B+. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty good buy. They've had a decent team for the last few years. They haven't, they haven't been in relegation battles really.
Well, that's not fair to say. Their first season they came in at the Christmas season, they were 10 points behind and somehow ended up 10th place.
Okay, I will qualify that. They haven't really been relegation contenders since their great escape from relegation.
Yeah. And they've kind of just stayed away.
Yeah, yeah. So they had the great escape, and then we're like, that was such a great escape, we're not going to do a Sunderland. We don't need to do a repeat performance each year, you know. We play the greatest hits. No, we've done it once. We've done it well.
Yeah.
We can't top that. We're accepting that this is the best great escape we could do.
It's like Machina from, like, the Smashing Pumpkins. They did their one dance music album. They never went back. Now, next up, we have Everton, who not only have got new players, they've also bought new manager.
Yeah.
And good manager as well in Ronald Koeman. So first up, we knew obviously that Tim Howard was going back to the MLS.
Yeah.
And he did. So Martin Stekelenburg as a replacement kind of works. Stekelenburg is still not that young, and I think he's not a permanent long-term replacement.
No, but he's sort of the stopgap fix, well, more than a stopgap fix, but, you know, yeah. Stopgap fix until they can sort of find the right person. So he'll do for at least the season, probably next season as well, and then perhaps into a third whilst they bring in a younger player and get him up to speed and such like.
Yep. And they also got Idris Gueye from Aston Villa. One of the few good players at Aston Villa last season. So Everton, I think that's a good buy from them. They got Ashley Williams from Swansea, another player they really wanted. I think having a good... they sold Stones and they got Williams. I don't think that's a bad deal. Williams is a bit older. He maybe doesn't have Stones' range of passing and things like that, but he's still a solid defender, probably a better tackler, and has better positioning skills, I think, than Stones.
I don't think it's going to lose Everton much. Mm. I mean, Stones is quality, and it's going to be hard to replace him, but just not to be too down on Everton, but in a team of Everton's positioning and quality at the moment, you know, Stones was probably a bit wasted anyway.
Yeah.
So Williams coming in is going to, it's not really going to, you're not going to see the loss as such. Yep. It's going to look pretty solid back there. He's perhaps going to fill the role that Everton actually needs slightly better.
Mm-hmm. And Stones didn't have the best season at Everton last season.
No,
either,
it was, well, it was because of the chase by Chelsea, it sort of got disrupted because he was in the news all the time. There was lots of approaches and everything. So it is a bit disrupting. I don't think he really settled from it. As much in the same way that Chelsea never really settled from the lack of getting him.
Yannick Bolasie, another good player for Everton to get, good attacking player there. They got Enner Valencia from West Ham, another striker. Obviously, Lukaku's going to be number one, but Enner is definitely a good backup.
Definitely.
They got Dominic Calvert-Lewin from the Blades in the Championship as well, but that's pretty much it, I think. And the players going out, they've had Stones leave as the big one, obviously the one that they'll miss the most, obviously, and they've had Tim Howard go, who's obviously going to be someone they miss as well,
but
I think Everton, it's very difficult for me to give them a good mark here because they bought a lot of decent players and a bunch of positions, especially Ashley Williams, I think is going to be a great buy for them, but they really needed another goalkeeper.
Yeah,
and I think it was very obvious they needed another goalkeeper, someone solid. Like, look, Martin Stekelenburg is not an adequate replacement for Tim Howard.
No.
And Tim Howard was getting on in years, but he was doing well enough, and he clearly was like, look, I'm on my last legs, I'm going back to the MLS.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Everton had plenty of time to get a good goalkeeper into their squad, and they just didn't.
No.
And that's possibly going to hurt them.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Definitely, well, it's not going to help in any way, shape or form. I mean, it may depend a bit on the form of Stekelenburg, but I think you're right. They needed someone slightly better.
So I will give Everton, I think, a C+.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe a C, but I thought C was perhaps a bit harsh. So C+, yeah. No, they didn't do anything particularly wrong with their things. You say it was all there. It just, wasn't the greatest.
All right. Now, we go from me to, oh god, who is Hull City. Now, to be fair to Hull, they've have a lot of issues going on behind the scenes at their club. Steve Bruce leaving and a bunch of other players leaving, not having enough players to fill up their squad.
Yeah.
And still not buying.
Yeah.
Look, At the end of the day, they basically got James Ware from United, yeah, and they got Marcus Henriksen on loan from AZ Alkmaar, and Mbokani from Dinamo Kiev. And before that, they got William Keane. Who's a player I'm sure Mike Phelan knows very well at his time for Man United. So this, is, not surprisingly, has a couple of young players from United come in. But even then, they lost Mohamed Diami to Newcastle. They lost Sone Aluko to Fulham. And they have a lot of injuries. Like, Hull have had the harshest of the transfer window.
Yeah, no, there's nothing...
It's amazing that they're playing well, despite it.
I know what you mean. I mean, that transfer window is completely underwhelming.
It feels bad for me to give them a bad mark, because I know it's completely not Mike Phelan's fault, and he can't help. So this is not a reflection on him, but I think if you are a Hull fan, you have to say that it's got to be it's a terrible window. A failing grade. D minus.
D minus. I think so. I think you're right. It's failing. I mean, despite that, as you say, they're fifth on the table.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, but you're looking at those...
This is not judging Hull as a team.
No, or it's judging the
their
transfers.
Manager or their players. This is just the transfer window that
and
we're
the
judging.
The transfers are horrible. It's a D. Definitely a D transfer, really. It's just... There's nothing in there that's good and only bad.
Now, we move on to another team that... are amongst the contenders, and we've already mentioned them a few times, and Liverpool.
Yeah.
So they started off their transfer window with Joel Matip going in from Schalke, a young player who I'm sure Klopp knows quite well. And they also had Laurie Karius coming in from Mainz to Liverpool. So it's another young player that that Klopp probably knows quite well, coming in there. And then they kind of were steady throughout the rest of the transfer window. And Klopp has mentioned that this is kind of his style. He doesn't feels like England have the wrong mentality, that they're too intent on just replacing personnel with better personnel rather than training up the current personnel
into being what you want.
Yeah. So also got Alexander Manninger from on a free transfer, and Jorginho Wijnaldum, who was a lot of clubs were going after him, and so he got him from Newcastle. And then it was mostly people leaving. That's right. Alex Manninger is the former Arsenal keeper. They did need to buy a keeper, so that's and Manninger is quite solid. But they've had a bunch of people leave: Luis Alberto, Andre Wisdom, he's only going on loan, and he's a good young player. Mari Balotelli is gone. Lazar Markovic is gone on loan, and Christian Benteke is gone. And John Flanagan has gone on loan to Burnley. Brad Smith has gone to AFC Bournemouth, who we've mentioned just earlier. Allen has gone to Stoke.
Yeah.
And Jordan Ibe has gone, and Martin Skrtel has
gone as well. Yeah.
And Danny Ward has gone on loan to Huddersfield. A lot of players leaving.
That is a big exodus.
But is it like a bunch of... We have to temper a bit of this, because Jordan Ibe and Brad Smith have both got buyback clauses. So Bournemouth are basically... If they end up doing well at Bournemouth and growing and developing the way Klopp likes, then they'll come back to Liverpool. That's not a problem. It's almost like a win-win for both clubs, both for Liverpool and for...
Yes, no, definitely. So, as I say, it's slightly better than a loan for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, with the buyback clauses, know that there's a set price they get them back for if they do become good, and they look at it and say, actually, no, that you're going to fit into our system now, you're good enough to play first team, and they can just get them straight back. So, you say win-win. So Bournemouth get
and
two
also for the players, because they get to continue their careers and play first team football a lot.
And know also that if they prove themselves, they could be back at Liverpool.
Yeah.
With Liverpool is a reasonably prestigious club, so
absolutely. And the other players who've left, like Joe Allen, I don't think he fits Klopp's system, and apparently neither does Christian Benteke.
Well, that would have been the one big question mark there for me is, well, he doesn't fit your system, really? Okay, you don't want a big, powerful...
And the rumour was going that Daniel Sturridge was another player that Klopp may have just looked at letting go. And I'm kind of going, why would you?
Yeah, it's...
I'm sure Chelsea would be like, oh, you can have another prodigal son come back.
We'll have more prodigal sons, it's okay.
They can all come back. And Martin Skrtel, I mean, I think he's a bit too undisciplined for Klopp. Like, Klopp likes his defenders to not be as... Well, be as silly, I think, is the right word looking at.
Yeah, Skrtel's getting on a little bit as well now. That's so true. I think you look at that and I think that is Klopp clearing... Yep. Clearing
players out. He's not going to play and give it, loaning out and get buyback clausing on the ones he's going maybe with.
Yeah, maybe next season or in a couple of seasons. Yeah, the ones he's not going to play, the ones he's like, no, you don't fit at all. Off you go. No matter who you are, you're gone.
Yep.
And the ones that he just wants out for a season on loan, and the ones he's like, don't think you're going to sort, but you never know, is out with the buyback clauses.
So I think Liverpool, it's difficult to judge. They haven't brought any big names, and like I said, we know that that's not what Klopp likes to do. So we have to judge them differently. It is like a different test almost. So I think getting rid of players who are not going to play in your squad is a good move. They're not going to have Europa, so they can focus on the league. So bloating up your squad makes no sense either from that perspective. I think maybe come that Christmas period when we have a lot of games on, but that last week of December, first week of January, they may find if there's injuries here and there that they are running a bit low on numbers. That would be my one concern if I were a Liverpool fan. But I'm not going to mark... I'm going to give Klopp a reasonably good mark here. I think he's at least a B, if not a B+.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you that the players he's got rid of seem to be the players he needed to get rid of. They're the ones that were just going to be dead weight on the team sheet.
And the wage bill, which we've talked about.
Yeah, and the wage bill. So it was just going to suck up funds that could be better set aside into the January window buyer who I actually need after I've had a good, another few months of sorting out these lot to decide. That said, still feel a little underwhelmed that, you didn't get... It always feels a bit underwhelming when a side that's meant to be a big side doesn't buy in someone wonderful. I know that's not Klopp's way.
No.
And this is being very much an English football supporter. You want the, if you support a club, you want them to buy someone awesome all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you want a marquee signing here and there. Yeah,
here and there. And that seems to be what's missing for Liverpool. So, no, I'm a B-. It's good. I see what he's doing. I know why he's doing it. But needed something to go, wow, that happened. And there wasn't that, so...
I can see why you rated that.